Well, this morning we have a special treat for you. And I want to be careful because it's not a guest speaker, because our missionary, Rafael Restrepo, is with us. He's not a guest. He's actually been a missionary of our church. He told me his first mission he was sent out by Island Christian Church, then North Force Baptist Church, was in 1987, sent as an intern to the Bronx, right? Then from there, he and Mary, they've been sent to Uruguay and now to Spain, and they've been a part of our church family for many, many years. I think for many of you, you might be meeting them this morning, but they've been a part of the ministry of our church for a long time. And he's going to talk to you about the ways that God has been using them in their lives and especially their ministry in Spain. You may remember last year, 2022, in the spring, we were able to do a special building project in Spain with one of our missions partners. That is this same church, Pastor Rafael and Mary Restrepo. So he's going to come in just a moment. First, we have a short video to just introduce you to their ministry, and then make sure when that's over that you give him a warm welcome as he comes to teach the word this morning. So we're so glad that he's here.
Well, good morning, everyone. So my name is Rafael Restrepo. And I figured the best way I could introduce myself to the congregation is by saying I'm David Santiago's brother-in-law. Thank you for having me. With me is my wife, Mary. She's in the third row there. She's a lovely woman who is about 80% of the ministry in Spain and everywhere else. Yeah, it's kind of a special Sunday for me. I've had the opportunity to, on many occasions, preach in front of thousands. I get more nervous coming to my home church than that. But okay, we'll work through this. So this is a special Sunday for me, and I'll tell you why. This is the first time since 2010 that all of my family is under this roof. They have been scattered, and so it's... Now, they didn't come to hear me preach. They came to celebrate their abuelita's 91 birthday, you know? Yes. Pastor Chris asked me to introduce myself to all of you, share our journey in ministry. And I saw the wisdom of that last week. I was in the cafe sitting there by myself. It's all right. That's no big deal. And two gentlemen obviously saw that I was sitting there and very kindly came over to sort of say hello to the new guy that they'd never seen. And they asked me, you know, hi, hello, how long you been here, you know? And I said, well, since about 1980. And they just kind of looked at me. So I think I owe them an explanation. So if you're here, I'm going to try and put some context to that statement. Pastor Kobe last week spoke on Mission Possible, part of the series, Dear Church. And in that message, he spoke about doing missions. And so what we're hoping to do is that God will show you today the practical aspect of what that message was. The series started on September 10th. I was here for that. And Pastor Chris, as he started the series, Dear Church, he shared out of John chapter 3. And so we're going to just start there so that I can put some frame to all of this, to this whole thing. Anyway, John chapter 3, do I point in any direction? Like, okay, all right, we know about that. There we go. Actually, there should have been a title, so we're going to go back. The title is Missional About the Gospel. Oh, there it is. Missional About the Gospel. And I'm going to try to explain that in these few minutes. So we'll start with the first point. Now we're good. It all started here, John chapter 3, and it was that passage, that chapter that God used to bring me to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm a preacher. I like to teach expositorily. I like to go through verses and teach you all of that. And I'm just going to share. Today, I'm just kind of share my life. And there's going to be some assorted verses that I will not stop to explain them to you. If you really want to know perhaps a little deeper, you're more than welcome to stop me or one of the pastors in regards to that. So John chapter 3, verse 7 simply says, "Do not be marveled that I say to you, you must be born again." And that's where my journey starts. I guess I could tell you a little before that. I was born at a very young age, very close to my mother, in the country of Colombia. C-O-L-O, not L-U, L-O. Just putting that out for you out there in case you're taking notes. We moved to the island when I was 9 years old. My mom immigrated, and she still doesn't really do English very good, but hey, you know, it's good. There is much to be ashamed of in my youthfulness, and we're not here to talk about that, but I guess there's a song that kind of the Beatles gave some letters to. It says, "Me used to be an angry young man," and that kind of explains a lot of it. But I found myself, by the grace of God and by his mercy, in a machine shop in Amityville. And that machine shop was owned by a deacon from this church. And because of the ministry of this church and this man's generosity, I heard the gospel for the first time and came to know Christ as my Savior. I heard the gospel. I was born again. It was May 8th, 1980. That day I was given my first Bible. That was a special day. I've never forgotten it. I can tell you detail what happened as if it was yesterday, what I did that morning and what happened when I went to bed that night. Because that day changed my life. During this walk, and with that Bible, I read this first verse as I was reading through the Gospel of John. And when I came to this verse, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit." I knew what he was saying. I didn't understand it. Never went to Sunday school, never stepped into a Protestant church. I knew what he was saying without me understanding. And that night I said, "Wherever you want me to go, I will go. Wherever you want me to speak about Jesus, I will go." And so that verse changed the value in my life. And the go in the gospel became real, became real. So I told everybody. I was telling everyone, anyone that came in contact with me, I bombarded them with the news that Jesus loved them and that they needed to be saved. I soon found myself in Bible college. It was with the help of this church that that happened. There I met my wife, and I crammed 4 years of hard study into 5. 1985, having come back to Long Island, now that I knew everything that needed to be learned, I was hired on staff here. And as Pastor said, I was sent to the Bronx, I think as punishment for thinking that I knew everything. There, my wife, just to give some context to things for you folks, there my wife discipled Miss Stephanie Martorell. You might know who she is. Yeah, that's how far back. 1987, on this stage, I should tell you that I helped build with my own hands. I was ordained and we were commissioned as missionaries to Uruguay. And there we went for one purpose, and it was to learn cross-cultural church planting. And so we did. We, by the grace of God, we planted a church in Montevideo, which is going to bring me to my second sort of outline. And now I'm just going to stop and do a promotion, okay? So this is a prayer card. If you've never seen them, they're, well, I don't know. We have to make them. We're missionaries. We're supposed to do this. So I'm going to encourage you to pick one up. It's got our name, phone numbers, information about two different ministries that we have in our life. But you're going to find right here in the middle, basically the outline that I'm about to share with you. And it starts with building churches, building leadership, and rebuilding lives. And you'll understand why that has become our ministry model. So building churches. This is a verse that just shook my heart when I first read it. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And that just gave me some sort of energy that it could be done, it would be done, and nothing would stop God from doing it. And so we began to preach Jesus. It wasn't about a denomination. We didn't talk about who we were as far as our background. It was all about Jesus, because I learned that what the scripture says is that if I lift him up, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. And I understood that to mean, just tell them about Jesus. That's all they told me, and it transformed my life. So I figured, sounds like a simple message. And so we just told everyone we could about the Lord Jesus Christ. 1989, being in Uruguay, our mission came and said, would you please go to Spain? And I did not want to go. You see, if you heard from the beginning, I'm Colombian. That's not in Europe. That is in South America. And the point was to get to Colombia. That was my goal. That was the whole point, was for me to get to Colombia so I could tell other Colombians that were as bad as I was about Jesus. But it didn't happen. We ended up going to Barcelona because of the council of this church that gave us advice and counseling that we should go to Europe. So we went there to build churches, to work with youth, and to work with American football. Now, I'm going to tell you this because this isn't all that I did, but I have a point here. And the point is this. You're saying I can't when we talk about missions, and I want to show you a little bit that it's not about what you're able to do. It's not your abilities. God could care less about your abilities. He just wants your availability. That's all he wants. The rest he can do. If he can do the miracles that he did, he can use you. He can speak through a donkey. Trust me, he can speak through you. So I got involved in American football, and by the end of the first year, I was coaching a Division I American football team in Barcelona, Spain. You say, well, so what's the big deal with that? I have never played a day, a minute, a single moment of American football. My first coach was my wife, and she taught me more about American football in one night than I had ever heard. Through that, I became involved with the NFL Europe and the Barcelona Dragons. You can fact check me on that on Google. 1991, the Barcelona Dragons came, and I became their chaplain. This just opened doors and doors and doors for me to share the gospel with all these Spanish football players because of the American football players that had come. And that chaplaincy with them and my involvement in football, American football, I keep saying American football because you know why, right? Okay, good. That involvement led for me to get a call from the International Olympic Committee to become a chaplain in the Barcelona 92 Olympics, which opened, I can't even begin to tell you the doors it opened to our local church to do evangelism on the streets and act like we were represented the Olympic Committee. I took advantage of all that. Anyway, and I was invited to be one of seven chaplains for that year. In 1994, the church was made indigenous. Now, that's a big word that means independent. Left the national pastor, and our journey continued. But in this next step, I realized the importance of building leadership. That it wasn't just about building the church. You had to have proper leadership to take on the work of the church. And so I was reminded that the Apostle Paul did this. And when they, that's Paul and Barnabas, and when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So it was about forming and ordaining men to the ministry, to prepare men to lead these churches. In 1995, we moved to a city called Murcia. Now, I wish I could tell you more about that, but you're just going to stay with that fact. It sounds so dry. But yeah, okay, we moved to Murcia, and we started another church there. During that time, we also helped start another church a little further down south. And by a certain time, both of these churches were then turned over to nationals. But during this time, and because of our involvement in this building of churches, I realized the need to build leaders abroad too, and anywhere where we could teach pastors and form men to be good expositors of the Word of God, to teach in season and out of season. And so we began with the country of Morocco. Then because of Messiah's outreach, we went to Cuba, Algeria, then Bolivia, Nicaragua, India, and other countries where we've been able to go to teach. 2004 is a very special year because we started a church in Torrevieja. It was a little different. It was very different. It was an English-speaking church. Now, did you hear that? English-speaking church in the country of Spain. Yes, it happens. It's what it is. Hey, let me stop for a second and ask you to please pray for that church. They desperately need a pastor because I'm quitting. So as I speak here this morning and God speaks to you, tugs at you, I'm here to tell you, you do not learn to speak Spanish to live in Spain and preach in an English-speaking church, okay? You don't even need to learn Spanish to go to the doctor or go and buy food at the local restaurant. So it's just the way, the place, the area where we live in Spain. It's just how it is. So after the English church, then a Spanish church was started, and then lastly a Dutch speaking church. And those two last churches, they have their national pastors, they have their pastors all in place. But God was still pushing us into other new areas of ministry. And so comes the part where it's rebuilding lives. And the reason we chose this is because of the type of ministry that God called my wife to. I'm going to leave this verse up here. And as I speak, I want you to constantly think through that verse as I share very quickly what has taken place. The verse is this. Behold, I saw the tears of the oppressed and that they had no one to comfort them. And power was on the side of the oppressors, but they had no one to comfort them. All right, so it's 2012. My wife could see that my children were about to graduate high school. She taught homeschool to our two youngest right up to the end. And she just started, kind of thinking, what am I going to do? And started praying about it. And we had seen a need. We had seen a need in our area. And we kind of talked about it. And one day she came back to me and said, hey, I'm starting this course. And we're just going to do this. And so 2012, Mary started a ministry called AHT. It stands for At Hand for Tears, or it can also be Against Human Trafficking. Spain is the third largest country that demands prostitution. Between 39 and 45% of Spanish men have used their services. That's almost one in two men. But sadly, only 1 to 2%, at best, 2% of the traffickers ever see the inside of a court building. It is just incredible. And my wife has been involved in some of that work also in prosecuting. And she has watched as someone being prosecuted with all of the facts laid out. And it seemed like an open and shut case, walk away without any consequences. So that is very hard. At present time, Mary and her team are involved with a safe house. So you need a safe house to work with rescuing. Now you've all seen the movies and so on. What's missing in the movies is that when you rescue a person from human trafficking, they can't go home. In the movies, they go home, but they really can't go home. They're broken, they're shattered, their self-esteem. And so they have to be rebuilt emotionally, spiritually for sure. And so safe houses exist. And so the ministry that Mary has exists because there are safe houses. So she and her team volunteer at one of the safe houses that's about an hour away. She helped sort of start the first safe house in Madrid with another ministry. And so the women, when they're rescued, they have to be taken to a place where they can decompress, where they can sort of find themselves all over again. And we ask prayer for that particular ministry. You're probably thinking at this point, you want to know a lot of details. We're not quick to give details, especially in public, but I'll tell you this. My wife has been, her and her team have been threatened, physically threatened, verbally threatened, followed by car, by foot, called, we're going to kill you, you know. And so I say that so you can pray for her. But I want you to understand a little better who I'm married to. So you got to pray for me, you know? You see my dilemma? She's tough. You know, so for AHT, we really do covet your prayers. If you want to know a little bit of what has transpired in these years, 35 women have been rescued. Of those, we know of 12 that have received Christ. Some of them were Muslim, and to the glory of God, for sure. In 2022, again, I'm just reducing. We bought a building and turned it into a church. It was with your help, the help of many who just said, let's as partner with this project that the Restrepos have. And the building is designed to house more than one congregation. And there's a vision to that. It's taken me a while to understand some of the places and things that God has had us do. Whether it was growing up as an immigrant here on Long Island, or some of the ministries that we've been involved in since I was in college. I was the only non-Korean pastor in a Korean church. I never understood that till now, you know, till the last few years I realized what God was trying to show me in my own mind that could be done. And so we wanted to design a building that more than two congregations can meet simultaneously. Right now we have three congregations, English speaking, Spanish speaking, and Dutch. But that's not the end. That's not the end on my heart. That's why I need help. Because before God moves me on, I would love to see a few more churches meeting in that place. And just even in the last few months, things happened that sort of accelerated my thoughts and gave me vision that it could be done. So if you come to Torre Vieja, the last language you're going to hear on the streets is Spanish. I know, that sounds weird, right? Yeah, probably the one you'll hear the most is Russian. We have a lot of Russian speakers from many countries. And we have one from Belarus in our Spanish church. And Maxim he scares the daylights out of you if you would meet him in a dark alley, you know. But he's got a heart of gold. He loves the Lord. And I've told him, you're going to be our next Russian pastor. You know, I said, when I get back, we're on that. We want to start a Muslim church. Again, not able to explain everything, but because of my time teaching in Algeria, we can reach into the students that were there, and we can bring a couple to work with Muslims in our area. There's thousands of them. Scandinavians, we have so many Scandinavians, you know, and we're trying to figure out what language they have in common. It's complicated. It's not as easy as you think. But we almost had a group of Norwegians and Icelanders. They were about to start meeting, and COVID came and scattered them. They all kind of decided Spain wasn't the place to live. And many of them went back. They were scared, but they're coming back. As a matter of fact, I was on texting with one of our Icelandic leaders, and I asked him, hey, how's it going? He says, oh, we got about 12 of them back. And I'm like, all right, start that house group. You know. So we have in our hearts this desire to reach out to more languages and facilitate a building. Because that's the hardest thing, is how do you pay rent? How do you do that? So we're saying, here, just come use our facilities. You never have to leave, ever. All you have to do is figure out what slot is yours and work. Just, you know, and just make it happen. So Pastor Chris was there visiting, and he got to see it. I tried to explain it all to him, and who knows, maybe y'all want to share him in Spain for a few years? No. I tried. Okay. And just so that you know, because I think you got to give credit, and this definitely deserves a round of applause, is Pastor Paul Sandberg. He designed our building. And everyone that walks in says, how did you design, how did you imagine all of this, Pastor Raphael? And I go, if you only knew. I mean, I'm good. No, I always give him the credit. I always say, no, it was a fellow that came from the States and designed this whole thing because he has the vision for multicultural ministry. And he understood what I was trying to do. So I gave you the title of the message, missional. Missional, that means intentional. Be intentional about the gospel. I wanna share this other point with you, but before I do, as I talk about being missional, I wanna read a verse, Colossians 3:17, it says this. Okay, think about the word intentional. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, in word or deed, intentional. So we're asking you to be intentional about the gospel. It's not a Sunday thing. It's a life thing. Mary and I were 24 and 25 years old. Who knew? Who knew the ride that we would be on? And I'll tell you, it's been quite a ride. But we're getting old. I'm 62. Now stop doing the math. Ladies don't have the same math. They don't do the same. Stop doing the math. It's time for a changing of the guard. It's time for others to step up and fill that gap that's about to be left open. I'm going to dedicate myself to other parts of ministry, but still, someone needs to go to the Spanish people. I praise the Lord for my son-in-law, my oldest daughter. God called them to Spain to work with Spaniards. They live in Madrid. That's where they're church planting. You pray for them. They're the hardest people to reach. You ever heard of the phrase unreached? So, you know, unreached means you don't have internet. If you have no internet, you're unreached. If you have no running water, you are doubly unreached. And if you cannot see, you know, the latest films out of Hollywood, and all you have is Bollywood, you are triply unreached. Now, unreached means this. Listen to what it means. It means that a culture, a people group, okay, is unreached if less than 2% of its people don't know Christ. You're reached if 2% are heard about the gospel. The Spanish people, those that are Spanish, speak Spanish, and are of Spanish background and of Spanish culture, are under 1%. Most people don't know that. The Spanish people are an unreached people group. You need to pray for Spain. They're caught up in their tradition and in their materialism. And they need to hear about the gospel. So I want to talk to you about recruiting. I'm going to finish here. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 38. And Jesus said this, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Pastor Colby mentioned this passage last week, and I'm just here to say you need to put action to that. You need to ask God to replace us and to replace all of those missionaries that are coming to their time of finishing the work and the race that God gave them. You must pray. And I tell you this, and I'm going to warn you, if you really, really, really pray, you just might get nudged. God just might say to you, why don't you go? Why don't you go across the street? Why don't you go to your neighbor? I have something that I always share about neighbors, and it's because I think it's a reality. And I think that most of us don't share with our neighbors because we really think our neighbors are what? They're nice. All neighbors are nice. You know, you need something, you go to your neighbor, right? You need that cup of sugar, you go to your neighbor. You need that tool, you go to your neighbor. So neighbors are nice, but they're unreached, folks. Most of them are unreached. And we have got to cross that fence. I'm not even asking you to come and cross the Atlantic, but I am asking you to cross the street. Because you have to be missional. You have to be intentional about the gospel. It's not a Sunday thing. It's about you realizing that the world needs this message, not just you. It was good for you. It's good for the rest of the world. It saved my soul, it'll save everybody's soul that gives their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, I'll finish with this thought. If you don't want God if you don't want God shoving you out to the highways and byways to be missional, to be intentional about the gospel, to be about sharing your faith, then this might not be the church you're looking for. But if you are willing to hear God's voice, willing to say, here am I, Lord, send me, then you have come to the right place to surrender to God. I'm here to tell you that there is no excuse. There was nothing in me that should have been able to do this all these years. And more than once I've said and continue to say, God, why do you use us? I know my faults better than anyone does. So there is no excuse. So just simply say yes to the Spirit's calling and live missional. And if you want a reason, go back home and look at the news again. What is happening in Israel today is just continual reminders that there is urgency in this need. Soon, things are going to break out. Who knows what generation is going to have to see it all come to an end. But if I understand my responsibility, as my father-in-law used to say, I got to die with my boots on, because there's an urgency. Let us stand as we pray and prepare our hearts for communion. Father in heaven, thank you so much, because it is your Spirit that empowers us, your word that guides us. It is you who does all that is necessary so that your church will continue to grow, so that your kingdom expands. Father, thank you for how your word reminds us. It is not within our power. It is not because of the outward forces. It is because of the inward Spirit that your work is done. And so we just pray. I pray. Father, if there's anyone in this room to whom you are speaking to right now, may they respond with a yes. Yes, to go across the street, to go across that fence, to speak to that coworker, to begin to live a life that is missional, with a purpose, with eternity upon their heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us today. You can find our sermon library at islandchristian.com. And if you'd like to visit us in person, you can find us at 400 Elwood Road, East Northport. Sunday services are at 9 and 11. See you soon.